following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
This is what I consider the greatest story ever told. No matter how many times you hear it over and over and over again, how God could do something so miraculous, how God could do something in an unsuspecting place, how God can do things with unsuspecting people, how God can take his message from people that culture and society counts as outcasts. God wants to do that with us as well. He wants to take this message that you heard today, and he wants you to take that out and share it with your family and with your friends. If you think about everything that's gone on in history, this birth, when Jesus came into this world, single-handedly, no doubt about it, this made a greater impact in history than anything else. The day that little baby was born in a manger. And so that's something I want to talk about for just a few moments. I don't want to lose track of where we're at in our narrative of the story of Joseph. We kind of switch gears off of Joseph and onto his father, Jacob. If you have your Bibles this morning, Genesis 49, I want to talk just a little bit about the impact that Jacob made while he was there in the land of Egypt. Not necessarily a place that he wanted to be at that time. He wanted to be back in Canaan, the land of his fathers, the land that God said he would give to them. But due to circumstances beyond his control, his son Joseph went ahead of him many, many years in preparation for a famine. Now Jacob and all of his family have been there for a number of years. And as we see the end nearing, Jacob blesses all of his children, all of his sons, all of his grandchildren, all of his family. His words speak volumes about how he feels about them. Not only has he made an impact in his own family, he has now been there in Egypt for 17 years. And what we see in the passage this morning indicates that Jacob made a big impact in those years that he was there as well. We see that down in chapter 50, here's what leads me to believe this. When Jacob draws his last breath, Joseph fell on his father's face. He wept over him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. I want you to pay close attention to that. We're going to mention that again here in just a moment. And so the physicians embalmed Israel, who is Jacob. 40 days were required for him, for such are the days required for those who embalmed. And this is the whole thing that kind of encapsulates Jacob's life and the impact that he made. And the Egyptians, not the Israelites, the Egyptians mourned for him for 70 days. And as I got to thinking about that, you know, what exactly did Jacob do while he was there in Egypt to make the Egyptians sadden that he had deceased and mourn for him for 70 days? And I got to thinking, what kind of an impact am I going to leave the day that I leave this earth? What kind of an impact am I going to leave on my family, my friends, my community, my church, wherever I'm at, whatever the Lord has me to do? And what kind of an impact am I going to make? And I want you to think about that for just a moment. I'm going to keep this as simple as possible. Only 2 points to my sermon, 4 words, Merry Christmas. How are you? As you think about 2026, as you think about ending well in 2025, in this coming year, in 2026, what are you going to allow God to do in your life to cause you to make an impact on the people around you? For them to sit up and pay attention to what you have going on in your life, the things that you do, the things that you say. It all goes down to the golden rule that Jesus taught. Love God and love people. Amen? Love God and love people. As we think about the impact that Jacob made 17 years, I want you to think just a moment about the impact that Jesus Christ made. 33 years old when he died. His earthly ministry was only a short three and a half years, somewhere in that area. But in that short period of time, he did something that impacted all of history, all around the world. Not just one little small portion of the world. That's where the gospel started at. This is where the gospel starts, in a little manger in a town called Bethlehem. Now, there's a couple of things that I want to do a parallel with here with Jacob and Jesus. We've been talking about Joseph and Jesus all along. But when Jacob died, did you notice that it said that the Egyptians embalmed him? How many of you have ever seen an Egyptian mummy? What do they have? They have these strips of cloth, wrapped them up and tightly bound. What was Jesus born in? Jesus was born in swaddling clothes, a symbol of his imminent death at the end of his life. His birth was an indication that one day he too would die. Not only that, but Jacob, if you'll go back and read the text, Jacob requested, he said, hey, I've got a cave back in my hometown that I dug myself, and that's where I want to be buried. And we see this procession take place. Joseph requests permission from Pharaoh to take his father and go back and bury him in his hometown. Most of the times when you see a nativity scene like this, it depicts a barn or a stable like this. But most people seem to think, if you go back to I've never been to the Holy Land, I've never been to Israel, but the birthplace of Jesus is actually, from what I can hear, inside of a cave that you have to stoop down low and get inside of. His entire birth indicated that he was born to die. What he was wrapped in, where he was born at, everything pointed to his death and what he came to this earth for. So in your life, what kind of an impact are you going to make in this upcoming year? I don't know how long you've been here on this earth. You may be here only 7 years. You may be 70 years. You may be 90 years plus. You may only have just a few more days here on this earth. You may have a few weeks. You may have a few years left in your life. Your life is not an indication of a date that it starts and a date that it ends. Your life is that little dash in between. And what you do in between is what's going to count more than anything else. And right now, this Christmas time, you have the opportunity to impact the life of those around you. If that wasn't the case, guess what? When you gave your heart to Jesus, when he saved you, he would have taken you right away. But he didn't do that. He left you here on this earth, and he left you for a purpose. And so I want you to start searching your heart right now. What does God have prepared for me in this upcoming year, in 2026? What is he calling me to do? What has he prepared me for? Who has he surrounded me with? Who are the people in my life right now that need me to influence them the way that Jacob did, not only to the Israelites, but to the Egyptians as well? And just like Jesus did, because guess what? If you've been born again, if you are a child of God, the Spirit of God lives in you. We're called Christians for a reason, because we have Christ in us. And greater is he who is in me than he who is in this world. So those are just a few things that I want you to think about this year. As you see this manger scene, as you see the impact that Jesus made, as you celebrate this holiday season that we're in, and this Christmas, just search your heart, search it deep, and say, God, who have I impacted in my life? What are they going to say about me one of these days when I leave this earth? And have I lived my life in a way, and am I living my life in a way that I will be able to impact someone somewhere and let them know that there's a God in heaven that loves them and that there's a Savior who died for them? Love God and love people. In just a few moments, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. And one of the things that leads up to the Lord's Supper is we celebrate the flesh and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the angels pronounced Jesus was coming, he said his name will be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. God incarnate, God wrapped himself in flesh and blood to dwell among us and show us that there is a way that we can love God and love people and make an impact in this world. The Apostle Paul says prior to observing the Lord's Supper, you should observe your own heart first. It's a chance to reflect you. Am I worthy? Am I willing? Am I in a position right now, not only with the Lord, but with other people to partake of the Lord's Supper? And so what we do is we observe an open communion here. What does that mean? You don't necessarily have to be a member of this church to observe the Lord's Supper with us. We would invite you if you are a member of another church. But we do ask, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Are you a member of God's family? Do you know for sure that you're a child of God? That's the only prerequisite that we ask about that. This is a good teaching moment if you have little kids and they haven't made a public profession of faith. We ask that they not partake in this. This is for believers. This is for followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are two ordinances that Jesus instituted when he was here on this earth. One is baptism. We celebrate that when someone accepts Jesus and becomes a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the other one he said, you do this in observance of my death, burial, and resurrection until I return. So that's what we observe today. As Nancy comes to play a hymn of invitation, I'm going to ask that every head be bowed and every eye closed. We still have a couple of more things to do. This isn't time to gather up your belongings and start getting ready to leave. But in just a moment, the deacons are going to come forward and help me with the Lord's Supper and the elements. But I'm going to pray over us for just a moment. And I'm going to ask that you search your heart. Do I love God? And do I love people? Am I in good standings with the Lord? Do I know for sure that if I died right now, I'd spend eternity in heaven? Has there ever been a point in time when I made a public profession of faith to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? And do I know where I'll spend eternity at? And also, am I in good standings with other people? Are my relationships right? Here's the thing. If your relationship with the Lord is right, it should impact the relationships with those around you. So as the music begins, I want you to search your heart right now. And I'm going to say a prayer in just a moment. And if there's anything you need to deal with, if there's anyone that you need to go to and make things right, but most importantly, do you need to come and make things right with the Lord? These altars are open. I'm here to pray with you. John Logan will be here to pray with you. We can get some ladies to come pray with you if you'd rather have a female praying with you. But I'm going to say a prayer and the music's going to begin. I'm just going to ask that you keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Nothing but the music play. And the altars will be open and this will be our time of invitation. What you've heard in the music this morning, what you've heard in the message is both challenging and encouraging. But it comes with a responsibility and a time for you to respond to what you've heard. Father God, we come before you this morning. We thank you so much for your great love for us. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move about right now and search each and every heart that's in this building and within the sound of my voice. Lord, as we prepare to observe something that you yourself instituted, something that causes us to reflect upon the sacrifice that was given for us, I just pray, Lord God, if there's anyone here that needs to accept you as their personal Lord and Savior, if they've never done that, I pray that today would be the day, Lord God, that they would enter into a relationship with you. Most importantly, Lord, if there is someone here that does know you, they are a child of God, and there's just something not right with the relationship that they have with another person, I pray, Lord God, that they would do what they can to make that right today. Lord, this is a season of joy. This is a season of celebration. This is a season we reflect upon your birth, Lord God. But each and every day that we live on this earth, our eyes should be fixed on you and following you to the best of our ability. And I pray right now, Lord God, as we enter into this time of invitation, that we would do business with you and we would make sure that things are right in our heart. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.